Welcome to another edition of SharePoint Guidance V2. Today we'll be talking about logging. My name is Francis Chung and I'm here with
Erwin van der Valk.
Let's talk about the different needs of logging. When we talk about logging, there's really two parties that need to have information passed to them about the applications that are run on the systems. One party is operations. Operations tend to need to know when they need to jump, when they receive actionable messages, and they also need to see performance information or monitoring information. The other group?
The other group is developers. And developers are typically much more technical oriented, so they have a need for much more in-depth technical information. Typically, a developer is only called upon when there's a real problem with the system and he needs to diagnose what's going on. In order to do that, what he will typically need to do is increase the tracing levels at runtime, which means that the system starts writing more and more diagnostic information to a tracing source. This will impact the system performance, so that's why you need to be able to turn it down after the developer has done tracing. But that will allow the developer to have much more in-depth technical knowledge. Now, again, operations typically can't do that much with the in-depth technical knowledge. What they're after is, like Francis mentioned before, actionable messages. For example, there's something wrong with my system and you need to do X to solve it.
Database is full or can't connect to the service.
Exactly. Now, there are many different ways to implement logging in a system. For example, the Windows event log is a great place to store information. ASP.NET out of the box also offers a tracing implementation. Now, SharePoint itself has something that is called the ULS, or Unified Logging System. But it's also, some companies prefer creating their own logging implementation that, for example, writes to a database. And there are several other ways of implementing logging as well.
You also may want to use a variety of these in your logging solution. So, for example, you may want to log some messages to the event log and other messages to the ULS, SharePoint ULS.
Exactly. Now, that comes. Then we come to the next challenge, and that is, like Francis mentioned, you sometimes want to log to a certain location and sometimes to another location. And that's why, for example, there are logging frameworks such as Microsoft Enterprise Library or Log4Net, which allow you to have a single API to program your logging and tracing against, but allow you to configure where your logging messages go based on contextual information or metadata. Now, this might be one need that you have for plugging in a certain different logging implementation. But there's another one, and that has to do with unit tests.
Right, so in unit tests, you probably want to replace your whole logging, all of your logging syncs altogether. So it's not that you want to just change these messages to go to that sync or whatnot. You probably want none of that functionality to happen, and you want to really control what your logger does so that it doesn't, for example, throw in exceptions when you don't expect it to.
Exactly. Or that you're able to verify that your code is actually logging. With a mock implementation, that's much easier to do than to, for example, verify that a log message has actually been written to the event log.
Right. So in the case where you're doing acceptance testing, you probably need to go and write a tool to verify that a message was written to the Windows event log or to the file system. But in this case, if you're just doing unit testing, you just want to verify that your code called the logger. So let's take a look at the SharePoint Guidance logger. What we've created is an iLogger interface that really has two main operations. The ability to log to operations, in that case, the information would probably go to the operations team, or the ability to trace to developers. In this case, that would go to developer-oriented logging syncs.
And both of these methods have a lot of overloads that allow you to add information. For example, you can pass an exception to these methods, the logging implementation itself will format that exception so that it's very easy to consume.
We also support a pluggable architecture. So if you wanted to provide a different implementation to iLogger and to the SharePoint service locator, you can. Or if you just choose to replace one of the two trace logger or event logger implementations, you can do that too.
This gives you pretty much a fine-grained control over what kind of where you want your log messages to go to.
So let's take a look at the SharePoint logger design here. The SharePoint logger here implements iLogger. So that's the general logger here, and it mainly implements the two methods, trace to developer and log to operations. The service locator provides the implementations of the iTrace logger and the iEvent log logger to the SharePoint logger. So the SharePoint logger just uses the service locator, gets the two implementations, and then calls the methods on iTrace logger for the cases where the SharePoint logger is called, the trace to developer is called on the SharePoint logger, or the log to operations methods then call the event log logger.
Exactly. So as you can see here, if you write something to the developer, it will go into the ULS log. But if you write something to operations, it will go into the event log. Now, what this diagram isn't showing you is that messages that are going to operations will also go into the ULS, so that the developer has a single point to find all its diagnostic information.
Right. That is additional behavior that the SharePoint logger provides.
Exactly. So let's look at how you could use the iLogger interface and how we have used it in the reference implementation. As you can see here, in the Consoso Partner Portal product catalog feature, we're going to look at a presenter because that's a place where we are demonstrating the use of a logger. First of all, what you will see is when this presenter is trying to load product information to display it in a view, is that we are tracing messages to a developer. You can see that we have a logger, which is defined as a private field here. It's an iLogger. And in the constructor, we are getting the implementation from the service locator. So regardless of the actual implementation, this presenter can call the logger and write messages into it. And here you will see that we are writing a message that says start loading the product information, and we also have at the end of this we have a message to a developer that says end loading product information. So the developer can use this information to find out what's wrong with his system.
We're also taking a look at how we can write exception messages. If you go and scroll down in the catch exception here, in the case where there's an unforeseen exception, an exceptional exception, this will catch it, and we'll go ahead and take that exception and pass it into the view exception handler. The view exception handler, through the handle view exception method, will actually use the logger and it'll call the log to operations method in this case. Previous example was calling the trace to developer, this is log to operations. So in this case, there was an unforeseen exception. We'll go ahead and log it, and we'll display a friendly message on the screen.
Exactly. So again, what should be logged to operations? First of all, if something unexpected goes wrong within the system, for example, an exception occurs and it's not being handled, and that exception should be logged at system boundaries. One thing you should attempt is to add information about what went wrong and what the module was that caused the failure. Because unhandled exceptions typically provide in-depth technical information about what went wrong, and operations can't really act upon that. But at least they'll have an idea of, okay, this part of the system has issues and we need a developer to look at that. Secondly, What operations really is interested in are potential problems that they can solve. For example, there's something wrong with the configuration settings, and he needs to update those. Or there's something wrong with my infrastructure. You cannot connect to a certain database because it's not responding. Well, that is something that the operations can act upon. So that kind of information should be logged to the operations.
As Erwin mentioned, these are actionable messages. Messages such as, oh, this purchase has been changed to this status. Those aren't so valuable to the operations team. They really don't know what to do with that information. That type of detail, that level of detail, is more valuable to developers.
Exactly. Now, this isn't a complete list. Of course, there are many other potential problems that an administrator might be interested in. But it gives you an idea of what operations you would be interested in. Now, developers, on the other hand, first of all, like I mentioned before, developers are interested in all the diagnostic information, but they should have a single point of reference for that information. So what the SharePoint logger does by default is log all the messages, not just the trace messages, to the trace sync.
One reason why this is really important is that if you only have trace messages in the ULS log, the developer will need to synchronize those with the event or actionable messages in, for example, another sync, for example, the Windows event log. And it's very difficult to see, what actions synchronize with which events. So having them all in one place allows you to see them very clearly, what caused what or what followed what.
Exactly. Now, developers are interested in much more detail. For example, something has started, a status has changed, finished with order processing, for example. Now, because this can amount to a lot of information, this needs to be tweakable, adjustable at runtime. Another interesting thing which might be handy is if you are communicating in a message-based way with external systems, then it can be handy for diagnostic purposes to allow you to also trace the messages that are being sent and received to and from external systems. This can really help in tracking problems with communication, but you have to be very careful not just with messages, but with everything that you trace or log, to be very careful with the information if it's sensitive, such as personal identifiable information or credit card information, stuff like that.
That is a very common place for hackers to go after, is your trace logs. If they can get access to your machine, oftentimes they'll find personally identifiable information in trace logs. So it's very important to clear those trace logs once you're done tracing.
Exactly. And of course to reduce the trace levels after you're done. Okay, so we have looked at the implementation of logging within the SharePoint guidance library. The SharePoint guidance library offers a pluggable component that you can use within your own applications. By default, this component will log messages to the event log and write developer traces to the ULS. But if you want, you can customize that by plugging in your own logging implementation.
Thank you very much for joining us for another episode of the SharePoint Guidance Library videos. Today we covered logging. If you want to know more, please go to microsoft.com/SPG. This has been Francis Chung
and Erwin van der Volk. Thank you very much for watching.